We have a live set today from the great Louisville, Kentucky-based band My Morning Jacket, interspersed with my interview with guitarist and songwriter Jim James. The band has built a rabid cult following through intense live shows and a series of reverb-drenched CDs and EPs. The new album is called Z, and it's a bit more accessible. Johnny Quaid and Danny Cash, original members of the band, left in January of 2004, and this album was made without them and without the use of Danny's studio at his family's barn outside of Louisville. The band also made their movie debut in Cameron Crowe's latest film, Elizabethtown. We'll talk about the movie later, but I began by asking Jim James about Danny and Johnny's decision to leave the band after the last album, It Still Moves.
Yeah, I mean, it was John and Danny just had enough of touring. They were just fed up with it, and I don't know, you have to really be kind of hardcore militant about things if you want to tour for a long time, you know, or else you have to be just completely out of your mind. But they decided to leave, and our studio where we recorded everything was on John's grandparents' farm. So after he left, it was kind of they were really sweet and wanted us to stay as long as we needed to, but we wanted to get out of there. And even before they left, John and I had joked that, like, all the magic had been milked dry out of that place after we had, you know, finished our last record there. And so, in a way, it was really sad, and it was really hard when John and Danny left and we had to move. But it was a good thing, too.
And what does it mean for you to have the new members on stage, too? I mean, that must be a different energy, certainly.
It is. It's completely different. That's been the thing about this band that I think sometimes people complain and say that, I mean, it's hard. Sometimes when members leave, it can destroy a band. But I think for this band, it's been the opposite because we've had a lot of different members. And I think every time there's a problem with somebody and it just can't work out anymore and they leave, a new person comes in and there's a whole new wave of positivity and a whole new wave of energy that kind of, you know, slaps me in the face and slaps everybody in the face and kind of makes the whole thing almost a new, completely different band again.
Well, we're going to go to the stage and hear the song you open up with, which is Wordless Chorus. You hear this thing, I got to say, I think of Benny and the Jets. I also think of Curtis Mayfield. I think of a lot of soul music. And I understand that was somewhat on your mind when you went up to make this record.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to try and make a different sounding record than we'd ever made, and I wanted to. I've always been into all types of music, and I've been really into, you know, a lot of hip hop and soul music lately, and I feel like hip hop especially is one of the only music forms right now that's like uniting people, like regardless of what color you are, regardless of your religion or how old you are, and I wanted to try and take something from that, but not just copy it or not just do it, because I think I'm not a very good rapper, and it would be silly for me to try to make a rap record or, you know, try and just deliberately like copy it. But I wanted to somehow take some of the aspects of rhythm and production and you know, kind of take away some guitars and stuff like that and put in also, but keep our weird kind of keyboard, weird kind of reverb, you know, melancholic, whatever you want to call it, thing happening at the same time.
And it's all in there. So let's go to the stage and hear Wordless Chorus.
So much going on these days. Thank you.
Our guest today on the World Cafe are my morning jacket, and Jim James and I are listening to some of these tracks recorded live at the TLA in Philadelphia. I kind of like to talk about Louisville a little bit, because whenever you know whenever I introduce anything for you, I always say, oh, from Louisville, Kentucky. And somehow it seems important to me, mostly because Louisville isn't anywhere. I mean, it's not a big city. It's not a big music center. It's not, I mean, for a while there was this whole, you know, Southern rock thing attached to you guys. It's not, it's on the edge of the South. Tell me about what it was like, first of all, growing up there. And did you feel isolated at all there, or did you?
Not really. We never really thought about it. I think that's the great thing about Louisville that you're saying, is it really has no identity, so you can create one for yourself, you know, and it can create one for itself. Because, I don't know, we always had a really great group of weird friends, and we kind of just disappeared into our own world and, you know, didn't really even think about where we were from.
Right. Musically, though, what are the things that were maybe popular there that...
Well, that's another weird thing about Louisville, is that there was... I mean, we just lived out in the suburbs, and we didn't have any hip older siblings or anything, so we didn't really know anything about music. We, you know, luckily, I feel like right when we were starting to get into music was a really great time for music in the commercial sense, you know, because REM was huge, Nirvana exploded, like the whole grunge thing. And I feel like for one brief moment in music history, like the actual artists who were selling tons of records and on MTV and the radio were awesome, and we got hit by that and really felt it. And then through those artists, we learned about more other underground artists and stuff like that, and started going to shows and stuff. But I don't know. I feel like we were always caught in the middle, because Louisville also had a really hip, really indie underground scene. That there was a lot of great bands there, but we always felt really kind of exiled from that scene and outcast from that scene. And I think a lot of that was due to our own self-consciousness, you know, because we were young kids and thought everybody hated us when they probably didn't. But there's always just a weird kind of fashionable vibe, which we never liked, because we always just believed in music and believed in the power of it, and didn't think you had to be cool to like it, and didn't think you had to look a certain way to fit in a show. So we were always like right in the middle between, you know, loving some of these underground bands, but hating the way that the whole scene made us feel, and loving a bunch of really popular bands, you know, but and you know, just kind of loving that and not thinking it was wrong, you know, like to like music just because it's really popular.
Did my morning jacket ever become cool in Louisville?
I don't think it'll ever become cool.
Sort of tangentially, this I kind of wanted to talk about the new Cameron Crowe film, Elizabethtown. The band plays a band in the film, which, what is it? It's a Skinner cover band, or
that's the thing that most people get like a weird misconception of it. We play one of the main characters is a drummer singer in this band that failed. They're called Ruckus, and we play his backing band, we're his friends. And the main character in the movie that died. Well, the guy that died to set up the whole movie, Drew Baylor, the son, Orlando Bloom's father, he travels back to Kentucky to deal with his father's death and the funeral and stuff. And Paul Schneider's character, who's the drummer in the band, wants to play Freebird for this character who died at the funeral. So we play at the funeral service, like kind of an inelegant Freebird tribute to him that turns into a fiasco.
Wow. What was the film experience like? A lot of stuff.
It's really surreal. It was really cool. I mean, it was really great, because Cameron, he just runs a great set, and all his crew and all his cast that he picked, you know, everybody was so friendly and welcomed us, because we thought we'd get, you know, the whole cold shoulder Hollywood vibe, and people would, you know, have their attitudes and stuff. But it was really, really positive experience. It's amazing how much work those people put in. I mean, the hours that they put in on the set are just outrageous, just insane.
Well, let's get back to the live show and hear some more from My Morning Jacket live. Everybody always describes Off the Record as having a reggae vibe, but I will tell you, the thing about it, the guitar riff on this, it reminds me of like Guns of Navarone or something. What were you thinking about with that? Does that fit at all? I mean, like,
I don't know. Yeah, people have said stuff like that.
Ska stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, subliminally somewhere, that was where it came from. Other people have said Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I don't remember hearing that Hawaii 5-0 song for a long, long time. But maybe I heard it as a kid, and it's been stuck in there and came out.
Yeah, who knows? This is just a great song. We'll actually do a couple now, starting with Off the Record. Lay Low and Off the Record, a couple more of the highlights of Z, the new album. My Morning Jacket, our guest, Jim, thanks a lot. We'll
no problem.
Be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. Once again, thanks to My Morning Jacket for being our guest. That new album, Z, is available at our brand new World Cafe website at worldcafe.npr.org.